So the Gemara that we are going to be doing tonight is interesting. By interesting, I mean like not necessarily interesting. I know that when people give up Mishnayos to learn, like because someone was nifter or the like. So one of the Mishnayos that is taken least often is Uktzin, not because it's long. You don't take Kalim because Kalim is long, but Uktzin is just like Uktzin. So Uktzin is a whole Masechta about stems of fruits. And the halacha basically is that stems of fruits are Mekabel Tumah. Because of the fruit, and the stem of the fruit can transfer tumah to the fruit. Those are called the yados ha'ochlem, the little twigs, bits, things, stuff, right? Those things can become tameh, because of the fruit, etc. That's the basic halacha. Now, in this context, the Gemara has a conversation about what would be the status of these things. With respect to schach, just to give you a sense of what these things are, like if you eat grapes, you know, you have like those little twigs that the grape is attached to the twig, right? And that little twig is attached to the vine, correct? That's basically, so we're talking about those little twigs that are attached to the grape. That's really what we're talking about. So the Gemara says, it's around, I don't know, a third of the way down, you'd give them a base. But Amarab Abba, Amarab Huna, Habotzer Legas Ein Lo Yados. Right? That means if I am Botzer Legas, Botzer is the Hebrew term for cutting grapes down. But if I cut grapes down, Legas means I'm cutting the grape down to make wine. Agat is a wine press, no? So I'm cutting the grapes down because I want to make wine. So the halacha is ein lo yados, right? The stems of the grapes are not susceptible to tumah. That's the first halacha. That's Rav Abba. So Rav Abba says that Botzer Legas is not susceptible to tumah. Rav Menashe Bar Gada says in the name of Rav Huna, that HaKotzer L'Schach ein lo yados. Right, Rav Menashe says that if you cut wheat down to use it as schach, so there is no yados as well. Or you cut down some stalk and your intention is to use it as schach, so all of these attached stuff to the, how do we say this? I need some language here, Chefra.
Wheat handles.
Wheat handles. Is that that's like
Yeah,
the
that's
official
what made us
language?
so excited. We were so excited to learn it. Tell me.
I was in a sukkah shir once that we got here, and our rav said, "I apologize that it's so boring. It will be better next time." And that was the last in the series. We never had shir again.
Okay, so this is the rough meant like right now. This is the next time, and hopefully it'll be better than that sukkah shir you were in X number of years ago, whenever it was. But
But we said wheat handles at that time, so it's the wheat handles that, yeah.
the wheat handles. Okay, so let's just go through what wheat is. Basically, you have a stalk of wheat, and the kernels are at the top of the stalk. I think the handles are the connection between the stalk and the grains. Is that correct? It's similar to my little green thing, right, that connects my grape to my vine. There has to be a term for this. We will invent a term. We will call it the Urgelmeyers or whatever, right? I don't know exactly. It's a wheat handle. It's a grape handle. Is that the term? So Rav Abba says that Botzer Legas doesn't have yados. That if you cut the grapes down to use it for the wine press to make wine, the halacha of yados does not apply. Rav Menashe says that Kotzer L'Schach ain't lo yados. That if I cut it down, I cut down the wheat, and I intend to use it for schach, so the din of yados does not apply to those wheat handles. which means that the wheat handles are not called mekabel tum'ah. Apparently, the wheat kernels are mekabel tum'ah, no? The wheat handles is just not mekabel tum'ah. That's the basic halacha in the Gemara. And the Gemara says, Mad ames kotzer, koshikim botzer. If you hold like Rav Menashia, that kotzer doesn't have handles, so certainly botzer, certainly in the case of the grapes, is no handles, because delo nichole, delo nematye lachamre. Anyone want to translate that for me? Delo nichole, delo nematye lachamre.
You don't want the little handles in your wine press.
You don't want, why not?
Because it makes the wine bad.
It makes the wine bitter, exactly. I would have said I don't want my handles in the wine press because I like clear wine. I don't like yucky, like floating stuff around in my wine. But apparently you'll get it out, but it makes it bitter. I'm not a winemaker. Let's assume that's correct. Right, manda amar botzer shein lo yados have a kotzer yesh lo yados dinichale delischach behu ki heched lo lebadron. You want the wheat handles there ki heched lo lebadron so that it does not get spread out. Correct, ki heched lo lebadron so that it does not get spread out. Now, what is the problem if it gets spread out? The Gemara says, I understand you don't want the grape handle because that will make your wine bitter. But what's the problem if it gets spread out?
It'll get scattered in the wind, I think.
So it'll get scattered in the wind. And therefore, right, that's what Rashi says. Right? Rashi says it'll get scattered in the wind. Right? Rashi writes, actually, we could look at it in the Tosfos for a second, right? The Tosis little one, Delola Badron, Tosis Pirsha Kuntris, Shem Yavdo Rashay Shibolim, Minakashim Yisparadu Vyechuli Ibud. If the wheat handles separate, you will lose the wheat handle, and that apparently would be a calamity. Right? If you lose your wheat handle, it will get lost. That'd be terrible. Fine. Vyesh Mefarshim, though, Tos has a different explanation. Vyesh Mefarshim Sheyachbidu Rashay Shibolim Al Hakashim. The second explanation is that the wheat handle keeps the stalk in place. If the wheat handle would not be there, the wind would come and would knock the schach off of your sukkah. Somehow the wheat handle protects the schach from falling off. Okay, that's what Taisa says. Now, of course, this Taisa leads to some sort of interesting conversation. We already discussed this halacha or non-halacha a little bit. The halacha or the non-halacha is called maimed. Right? Many people go out of the way. They get very nervous about that they should not have anything that is mekabel tumah supporting the stach. But that's the din of maimid. There might not be such a din at all. The pashtus in the Gemara is that there's nothing wrong at all with having your schach supported by a dover that's mekabel tumah. But there's some huma or machmir based on one reading of the Gemara and one sheet in Rishonim, etc. Now, one of the questions that comes up every year is if you live in a windy place, are you allowed to tie your schach down? Am I allowed to take rope and tie my schach down? So many of the guides to sukkahs say that if you tie your schach down, you should use rope made out of hemp rather than rope that is made out of plastic and the like. The reason to use rope made out of hemp is because min haTorah, hemp grows from the ground. So min haTorah, it's kosher for schach. So therefore, it's not a problem. If I use rope that's made out of plastic, I use a fishing string or whatever, so then it will be mekabel. Well, that's not talking about plastic, because plastic is a further question, because it could be plastic. It's never mekabel tumah. It's about rope made out of metal, right? Don't use metal to tie down your schach, because that will be mekabel tumah, and then you're holding your schach in place with a dover that is mekabel tumah. Now, what's interesting over here is that the Gemara is saying that you your wheat. What are they called again? The wheat handles. The wheat handles are mekabel tumah. They have yados. And the reason why is because you want the wheat handles there. I want the wheat handles there because the wheat handle makes it that my wheat does not go flying away, that my schach doesn't fly off of the sukkah. Well, here's the problem, Chevra. If my wheat handle, which is mekabel tumah, is preventing my schach from flying off of the sukkah, so doesn't that mean that my sukkah is hu amad v'davar, that's mekabel tumah? Right? Usually we think about maimid is that the item at the bottom is supporting the schach. But you could have reverse maimid, no? It's like that bridge in Yerushalayim right near the Ramada, no? It's like, isn't it like suspended by like
stuff? David's harp, is that what they call it?
What's it called?
I thought it was called David's harp. It was meant to be like
David's harp. Okay, right, correct. Something like that. It's just, so you can have maimid on the top. It's supporting it from the top. So l'cha'ora, this should be an issue of maimid. So some of the Sfarim say, you know what, Ms. Gutman, I'll let you talk before I finish my you know what, yeah?
Sorry to raise my hand in the middle. What is maimid? I'm not sure.
Maimid is this halacha or non-halacha, whatever you want to call it, that my schach should not be supported by something that is mekabel tumah. So over here, in like a warped sort of way, my schach is supported by my wheat handles, and my wheat handles are mekabel tumah, right? Supported in the sense of, if not for the wheat handles, my schach would, right, flies through the air, right? My schach will, like, get all lost. So in some warped sort of way, it's like it's mekabel tumah, and that should create a problem. But I see from Tosfos that Tosfos, like the overwhelming majority of Rishonim, assume that there is no problem of davar mekabel tumah or by the schach. That's really the halacha. Some people make themselves very nervous about this. Tanya, it looked like you had something to say a minute ago.
Yeah, so unfortunately, I'm not remembering the Gemara so clearly, so I appreciate we're going over it, but aren't they only handles when you want the wheat kernels? Like, if you don't want the wheat kernels, then are what we calling handles just like stalks? So, and then maybe they're not mekabel tumah because they're not handles anymore.
I think the case over here in the Gemara is that the handle remains attached to the stalk, right? We view it like you have to identify the parts, right? So you have stalk, handle, kernels. The kernels are for sure mekabel tumah. There's a question about the handles. Are the handles mekabel tumah? We're talking about a case that the handle is attached to the stalk, and the handle is mekabel tumah, says the Gemara. Why? Because you want the handle there. I want the handle, nichale de lo levadron. I want the handle because, right, the way the second explanation of Tosfos says it, I don't want the wheat, I don't want my stalks, my schach stalks, to go flying. So if the idea is I don't want my schach stalks to go flying, so then, right, I don't want my schach stalks to go flying, so l'cha'ora, that means that my handles, which prevent it from going flying, is the maimed. My handles are holding the schach in place. Ms. Gutman, looks like you have something else to say. How are you?
Yeah, it's another question. Is the Gemara talking about that the issue, describing that the issue would be maimed, or they're just saying a schach in general?
But so our Gemara, the Gemara itself is talking about schach in general and whether the wheat handle is mekabel tumah, and whether the schach is mekabel tumah based on that. The Gemara says that the reason why the wheat handle is mekabel tumah is because you want that wheat handle. You want the wheat handle to prevent the schach from falling off of the sukkah. We asked a question on that, but what do you mean? That means that it's maimid, right? The maimid is not found in the Gemara. It's not even found in the Tosfos. It's just our question on the way Tosfos understood the Gemara.
Okay. It's not actually serving a schach. It's not substantial.
Well, I mean, it seems to be holding the schach into place. It seems to really be serving the schach, right? Nonetheless, it's kosher. How can that be? Oh, let's go on in the Gemara. So what I have over here so far is two positions. That's Rabbi Abba tells me that the grape handles are not, that the grape handles are not mekabel tuma. And Rav Menashe tells me that the wheat handles, in the case of schach, are not mekabel tuma, right? Rav Menashe says the wheat handles are not mekabel tuma. Everyone would agree, apparently, that the grape handles are not mekabel tuma because you definitely don't want the grape handle there because it makes your wine all yucky. But by the wheat handle, there's a machloikas because do I assume that you want it there to make your schach not fly away? Or did I say that, no, you don't really care about it? That's what the issue in the Gemara. Neima, Rav Menashe bar Gada Tanoihi. Zuck the Gemara, right? You have a place, Chavra. Right? Neima, Rav Menashe bar Gada Tanoihi. I would tell you where it is, but I have no idea. Like, I don't know how to say where we are. But okay, let's just say that Rav Menashe bar Gada is a machlokas hatanoim. The Tanya. Sochei te'inu v'hem te'inim. Parchinu v'hem anovim. Kashin v'hem shibolin.
It's interesting, by the way, that in rabbinic Hebrew, the stalk of every fruit has a different name. Just to totally confuse you, it's lahavdol. I don't know if it's true, but they say the Eskimos have like 1,000 names for snow or something, right? Which is probably...
Yeah, unfortunately, they don't. That's a... It's a...
That's a... But which is 1,000 different names for stalks, right? So you have sochem is the term for a stalk of a fig, and parchilin is the term for a stalk of a grape, and kashin is the term of a stalk for wheat, and machbedos is the term of stalk for dates. So kulan, all these items, imsolas meruba al ha'ochlin kishera, v'imlav psula.
Right. The question now is, can I use a branch that has grapes on it as the schach? So the Gemara says that if there is psoles merubal ha'oichel, right, if you have more garbage, remember, garbage is great for schach. Schach is supposed to be ba'aspecha migarnacham yekvechot, the psoles of gorin v'yekev. So if I have more psoles than ochel, it's kosher for schach. In lab, if I don't have more psoles than ochel, meaning if I have more grape than I have stalk, right, then it's going to be puzzle. Acherim omrim. The Acherim say, the Gemara, by the way, at the end of Horios tells me that Acherim is always Rabbi Meir, no? That Rabbi Meir basically, like, started up with the Chachamim, and they weren't so, they decided, you know, we can't not quote him, so we'll just call him Acherim, the other guy, the other, right? Tachirim omrim, achu kashan merubin al hayodos ve'al ha'ochlin. The Achirim say that that you need more stalk than, let's say, grape and stem. You need more stalk than grape and stem, than both together. So there is a machlaikas. The first opinion is you need more psolas than oichel. And apparently the stalk is considered the psolas. According to the second opinion, I didn't mean the stalk. Apparently, the handle is considered psolas in the first opinion. In the second opinion, we treat the handle like the ochel. So zok the Gemara, my la b'hakam miflagi. L'cha'ora, this is the machlokas. D'mar sabar yesh lan yados, d'mar sabar ein lehen yados. Right, the machlokas ha'tanoyim, the acherim versus the tanakama, is whether the din of yados applies or the din of yados doesn't apply. Right, that's what the Gemara says.
What are you talking about?
I'm giving a shir, Yosef.
About what?
About schach.
Schach. Schach. I know stuff about schach.
So again, the question is whether those little handles that hold the wheat kernels, whether that is mekabel tuma or not. So the Gemara says that this question seems to be machlokes hatanoim. The Tanakhama says that the handle is the psoles. But according to the Acherim, the handle is considered the Ochel. So l'cha'ora, this seems to be the same achlokas that between Rabbi Menashe Bar Gada and Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Menashe Bar Gada says it's not Makabel Tuma, and Rabbi Abba says, and Rabbi Abba says that it is. So, right, I apologize for that brief intermission. But the Gemara basically is saying that this seems to be the machlokas. Zoktimra, no. The Rabbi Abba vaday tandaihi. Rabbi Abba, who says that in the case of grapes, it's not makabel tuma, but in the case of the wheat handles, it is makabel tuma. So Rabbi Abba is forced to say that the machlokes as to whether you need more stalk than kernel plus handle, or you need more stalk and handle than kernel, that machlokes is exactly fighting about whether he's right or wrong. Because Rabbi Abba himself holds that the wheat handles are makabel tuma. Yet I see that there's a machlokes here in this braisa, and the first opinion says that the wheat handle is not makabel tuma. So our perchachad has to be that that opinion is against Rabbi Abba. But the Rav Menashe Bar Gada, mi le matanoihi. Right, who says it's machlokes hatanoi according to Rav Menashe Bar Gada? Amar lach Rav Menashe, the kuli alma savri hakotzer eschach emo yados. Everyone holds that there is no yados, that the wheat handles are not tamei. Says Rav Menashe, perhaps the opinion that the wheat handle is mekabel tuma is not talking about the case that he was addressing. He was addressing a case when I cut down wheat with the intention to make it into schach. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a case when I cut down wheat in order to eat it. Then later on, I look at it and I say, wow, you know what? Wouldn't this make amazing schach? So I decide to put it on top of my sukkah. So the reason why it's makabel tuma, says Rav Menashe, is because originally when you cut it, your intention was to use it as food. That's why it's makabel tuma. So the Gemara says, whoa, 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 1 second. Right, 5 lines to the bottom. Ikotzusan l'achila, maitamayhu d'rabonan. Right, if you cut it down to eat it, you cut the wheat down to eat the wheat, and then, so in that situation, the stalk is makabel tuma. Then later on, you change your mind, and you decide, now you're going to use it as schach. So why would anyone say that it's not makabel tuma? Right, originally when I cut it down, it was makabel tuma. I cut it down to be food. Why would it not be makabel tuma later on? That's a good kasha. If you're cutting it down to eat it, so why would the rabbonon say that it is not makabel tuma? Because rabbonon kevan de nimlach alehen lesikuch but lalei machshavto. Zok the Gemara. Maybe the Chachomim hold that although when I cut it down to eat it, at that point it was makabel tuma, but the moment I think and I decide that now I want this stalk to be schach, that eradicates the previous kabbalas tuma that set in when I cut it as fruit, when I cut it as food. Right? If you're going to suggest, if you're going to suggest that since it was mekabel tuma originally when you cut it down, because it's intended to be food, so when you change your mind and now it's not food anymore, so the machshava that it's food is now gone. So I come out, but that's not true. Umi, but le machshava b'hachi. Can you get rid of a machshava that way? But nan, we learned a Mishnah in Kalim. Kala Kalim yardim l'day tuma v'machshava, ve'ein ola mitum asan ela v'shinui ma'isa. Okay. Kalim or makabel tuma. That's given? Given. Now, what's a keli? There are certain things that don't require very much craftsmanship. If I want to make a cutting board, right, how do you make a cutting board technically? You cut wood, it becomes a cutting board, no? Certain things are very easy to become a keli. If I want to make something called, Rashi talks about a dargash or a dalupki. A dargash or dalupki basically is a plain piece of leather that you use on top of some posts and it becomes a table. Or it becomes a chair. Dargash, the Gemara in Sanhedrin says it might be like a type of chair that people would never sit on. It was a chair that people had at home just like for good mazel or something. Does anyone still have that? I have no idea. Like a chair that you dafka don't sit on? Certainly not in a Washington Heights apartment. We don't have enough room for that. But kol ha-kelim yardim de tuma b'machshava vein olin mitumasan el b'shinui ma'isa. If I am working on leather, so I can decide that this piece of leather is going to become a table. B'machshava, I make a decision, you are now a table. Right? It becomes a table, it becomes makabel tuma. Once it became makabel tuma as a table, let's say then I decide, you know what, I don't want this to be a table anymore. I want to use this piece of leather to make a pair of shoes. Now, to make it into a pair of shoes, obviously you have to do some cutting, right? You can't just take a plain piece of leather and make shoes out of it. You have to cut it, etc. This piece of leather became an item that's makabel tuma when I decided it's a table. Just deciding that now it's shoes and therefore it is unusable as shoes does not mean that it lost its status as something that's susceptible to tuma. Once it became makabel tuma by machshava, the only way it leaves its state of kabbalas tuma is with a maisa. I have to take my X-Acto knife and cut that leather to begin to make it into some sort of shoes to show, to demonstrate actively that it's not a table. So what I see is that something that happened b'machshava, you only get out of it with a maisa. And the Mishnah continues, maisa motzi midei maisa umiyad machshava. A maisa is motzi midei maisa. Let's say something I make into a keli by doing something. Once I do a different maisa, that removes the status of tuma that set in ayudei the maisa rishon. Zoe, you had a comment?
This might be a really basic question, but why is a shoe not a keli?
So when it will be a shoe, it will be a keli. But if it is a plain piece of leather that I am going to use to make a shoe, it's not a keli. Right? So right now I have a plain piece of leather. I declare you are a table. It's makabel tuma. But then I say, you know what? This leather would be so beautiful as a pair of shoes. So what I do is I say, now you're going to be used for shoes. It's not a pair of shoes yet. Do I assume, oh, because I intend to use it as a shoe, it loses its status of kabbalas tuma because right now it's not a shoe. Sigma says, no. In order for it to lose the status of kabbalas tuma, you have to do a maisa. You have to take your X-Acto knife and cut stuff away. Maisa, motzi midei maisa, umiyad machshava. Machshava ina motzia, lo miyad maasa, v'lo miyad machshava. Basically what the Mishnah in Kalim is saying is that something that became susceptible to tuma does not leave that status until you do some sort of maisa. Machshava won't do it. Even if it became something that's mekabel tuma al yedei machshava, it doesn't lose its kabbalas tuma status al yedei machshava. You need a maisa. You need to actually do something for it to lose its kabbalas tuma status. So what the Gemara is saying is, one second, you told me a minute ago that maybe the reason why the wheat handles are mekabel tuma is because you cut it down to be food. So the Gemara asks, okay, that's great. But the opinion then says that it's not mekabel tuma. Why would that be? If you cut it down to be food, why would anyone say it's not mekabel tuma? So the Gemara says, oh, maybe the reason it's not mekabel tuma is you cut it down as food, but then you change your mind. And once you change your mind, it's not mekabel tuma. But Zak the Gemara, no, that's not true. Because machshava is not motziya midei machshava. It became food when you cut it down to eat. It became mekabel tuma when you cut the wheat down to eat it. Just now deciding, hold it, you are now schach. That doesn't take away its kabbalas tuma. You have to do some sort of maisa. So the Gemara's question is, why would it be that if you cut it down originally to serve as food, why would it be that it loses its status of kabbalas tuma? How could any authority, right, the Tanakhama in that source that we had on your Gimel Mabez, right, the Tanakhama says that the wheat stem is not mekabel tuma. Why not? I cut it down to be food. And don't tell me that since you changed your mind, it's not mekabel tuma, because we know that machshava is not motziya midei machshava. Right? That's the Gemara's question. V'chi tema, 5 lines from the top. V'chi tema hani mili kelim techashivi. Avo yados deletzorech achila ninhu. B'machshava na'ase, or b'machshava salka. The Gemara says, the Gemara has a suggestion that maybe kelim are significant items. So since a keli is significant, you need an action. You have to do something to make it lose its status of kabbalas tuma. But food is not as significant. Food is food by dint of the fact that you're going to eat it. Right? That's what the guy says. Aval yados tilitzarech achilaninu machshava nasa machshava salka. Right? Maybe it becomes food because I decide I'm going to eat it. It loses status because I decide I'm not going to eat it. Well, there is a certain halachic definition of items which are ordinarily not food, but because I decide to eat it, it takes on food characteristics, no? This comes up in like Hilchos Pesach. If I have some burned challah, so it's not chametz. It loses its status of chametz. I'm actually up to this in my shir in Stern. Burned chametz loses its status as chametz. But Shulchan Aruch paskins like a rush that if I take that burned chametz and I eat it, right, then besides being an idiot, I violate the issur of chametz. Because that's called achshavei. I can decide what is food and what's not food. Most people won't eat burned chametz. But if I decide to eat it, right, I think that's the type of idea that Argamar is getting at. Maybe the definition of food, pardon the pun, is more fluid than the definition of kalim, right? Maybe a keli depends on, you need a maisa to make it a keli, because a keli is choshev. But by food, since it's l'tzorech achila, so b'machshava na'aseh, B'machshava salka. It became food because I decide it's food. It loses its status of food because I decide it's not food. Right? Again, we're going through this whole exercise to try to understand the opinion that the wheat handle is not mekabel tuma, even though we established that the case is I cut that wheat down to be food. If I cut the wheat down to be food, why would the wheat handle not be mekabel tuma? So the guy says, maybe it's not mekabel tuma because subsequently you decide to use it as schach. The guy says, that can't be. Because once it became food, just deciding that it's schach and not food doesn't help. And we bring a raya from the Mishnah in Kalim. The guy says, no, Kalim ain't no raya because maybe food, giving something and removing the status of food from something requires less than giving something the Torah of a Keli and removing this the Torah of a Keli from something. So far, so good, Chevra? Oh, but you can't say that either. You can't say that Machshava makes something lose its status of food, because we have a Mishnah in the first parak of Uktzin, our beloved Uktzin. V'hatnan, ko yados ha'ochlin shem basisan v'goren tahoros. All food handles that you are basisan becomes tahar. I am deliberately not translating the word basisan because there are two possibilities as to how to translate this word basisan, right? So all food handles that you are basasan becomes tahar, but the Tanya Rebbe Yossi says it remains tamei. Now, what the Gemara is saying is Bishlam alamad amar basasan hiter agudan shapir. There's one opinion that says that basasan means that you undo the bundles. You undo the bundles, meaning I have food with yados ha'ochlim. There are stems on the food and the stems are mekabel tuma. If I am basasan, it is no longer mekabel tuma. What is basasan? Well, one opinion says that basasan means hitir agudan. Basasan means that you undo the bundle. Now that's not really a maisa, no? Undoing a bundle, I untie a knot, then all the stalks fall apart. They were bundled together, now it falls apart. So if basasan means hiter agudan, so that would show that something can lose its status of kabbalas tuma without a maisa. Or to say it better, that food will lose its status of kabbalas tuma without a maisa. Right? Because we're talking about that Mishnah Uksin is talking about food. Ko yados ha'ochlin, right? So if you hold that basasan means that you just undo it shapir, then you have a proof that with respect to food at least, since it became food ayudei machshava, it loses its status of food ayudei machshava as well. Ela lamanda amar, my basasan mamish, my ikalami. However, there's another opinion that says that basasan has to be that you actually trample it. Rashi over here quotes different psukim in books that, like, I don't know, like Yechezkel and stuff like that, or Yirmiyahu, about where that word basasan comes up in Tanakh. Right? The expression of basasan in the sense of undoing it. So Rashi says that undoing it and it rolls, that comes from, actually, this is a well-known pasuk, the pasuk of Misposeses B'damayich. No? We say it in the Haggadah. You're rolling in the blood. Misgoleles is Misposeses. So that means undoing it, that you make it roll. So that the pasuk that Bosasu might mean that you trample is a pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Bosasu Eschel Kasi. Again, I don't know very much about the book of Yirmiyahu or whatever. Oh, so the Gemara says, if you hold that basasan means hitir agudan, remember,
The Mishnah in Uktin says that if you have yados, which are mekabel tuma, right? Food handles are mekabel tuma. And then basa son, it loses its status of kabbalas tuma. Basa son means it loses its status of kabbalas tuma. Well, what does basa son mean? There are two opinions. One opinion is that basa son means that you undo it. If you're undoing it, that's not a full-fledged ma'isa. It's not really an action. An action means I'm doing something. Over here, I'm undoing it. And the stalks just roll over. So that's not a ma'isa. So that would show that machshava can take something away from the status of food. But if you hold that basasan means basasan mamish, if you hold that basasan means that you actually have to stamp on it, So you have no proof that something can lose its status of kabbalas tuma just by thinking, even foods, right? Elamadam basas anash might yikolani. Remember the first wide line. So the Gemara says, "Hacha nami shebasas anamish." Deep breath, beautiful Gemara. The Gemara says, "Hacha nami." In this case also, when what? When I have wheat, which I cut down as food. At that point, the wheat handle is mekabel tuma, because I cut the wheat down as food. But then I decide that this wheat handle is now, or the wheat with its handle is going to be used for schach. So one opinion is that it is no longer mekabel tuma. The Gemara says, how could that be? How could it lose its status of kabbalas tuma just because you decided schach? The Gemara says, it's not just because you decided schach, right? You actually do a basasan, right? I always wanted to do this. Like someone's going to come into my apartment and ask, like, what are you doing? I'm doing basasan. I'd be like so excited. But the point is, maybe, Zok the Gemara, the reason why this stalk, which previously was cut down to be food, and therefore the wheat handle previously was mekabel tuma, how come it's no longer mekabel tuma now? Zakti Gemara, hachanami shebasasan mamish. The case is that you actually did the trampling thing, and that's why it loses its status of kabbalas tuma. So this is 1 second. I hachi mai tamayud achelim, right? The first word on the yudala m'alaf. You might ask 1 second, if it's basasan mamish, so why would anyone say it's really mekabel tuma? So Gemara says, no, the Amar Kareb Yosi, that na Reb Yosi mitame. Right? Those who say it is mekabel tuma, they hold that basasan, even if I do an action on my yados, that does not take away its status of kabbalas tuma. If something was mekabel tuma already, I have a wheat handle or whatever it is, yados ha'ochlim, it is mekabel tuma, even though I do a basasan, even though I do an action to begin to break it apart, it doesn't lose its status of kabbalas tuma. Okay, Ms. Gutman, you've been waiting patiently.
Oh, the Acherim, when they say what Acherim says, that it doesn't mekabel tuma. I thought Acherim mentioned something about a stalk that has fruit on it. So why is that equivalent to him saying that it's always mekabel
tuma? So what the Gemara is saying is, again, the Acherim are saying that you need more stalk than fruit and stem, right? That's what the Acherim say. So we see from there that the stem is mekabel tuma. Why is the stem mekabel tuma? So the Gemara at this point is saying the stem is mekabel tuma because even though you did a basasan on it, even though you are jumping up and down and spitting wood and nickels on top of the stalk, nonetheless, since it was mekabel tuma originally, it remains mekabel tuma because the Acherim hold like the Tana Reb Yosi in that Mishnah in Uktin. By the way, if anyone asks you, like, what did you learn? This is going to be like one of the hardest things to explain to people, no? This one is, yeah. But Tanya, you're going to be able to explain to people what you learned?
Oh, no. I just have a question, and it could just be I'm not processing things, but this is just saying that this one Tana in this one case with Basasan, it's not saying that never when we have something that Makabal Tuma that we're able to change the status of it so it's no longer Makabal Tuma.
But usually the only way to change the status of something that was Makabal Tuma is by doing a full-fledged Maaseh. I think Basasan is not considered a full-fledged Maaseh. I'm not 100% sure what it is, but it's something akin to what we had in the Gemara, that like I have a wheat stalk and now I'm using it as schach, but I'm also like banging off the kernels. I think that's what it is. It's not like a full-fledged, like putting it in a grind or anything like that. It's not a full-fledged Maaseh.
Thank you.
Okay, now. So hi, Mai. I just want to, let's try to finish the Gemara, and then maybe I want to talk about the toast at the bottom if we have 5 minutes. Hi, Mai, Zakti Mar, second wide line. What's going on here? Vishlamahasam time of Reb Yosi Chazya Lichid Reb Shimon Ben Lakish. Reb Yosi, who says that when you have food handles that were Mekabel Tuma, even though Basasan, it does not lose its status as Mekabel Tuma, that's because he holds like Reb Reish Lakish. Dama Reish Lakish Ha Uruyas Lahufkan Ba'atar. Reish Lakish says that the reason why it is Mekabel Tuma is because it's Ru'uyos Lahofchan Ba'atar. The fact that the handle, the wheat handle is there, has an advantage that you could flip it with a pitchfork. I am not such an expert of flipping stuff with a pitchfork, but what I could tell you is that plain spaghetti will fall through the prongs of the fork, correct? But if you would have, someone should invent this, like spaghetti that has like little twigs sticking out of it, then it wouldn't fall through the holes in the fork, right? One of the reasons why you have to eat spaghetti, you have to like twirl it, is because if you don't twirl it, it's going to, right? This is deep advanced lumdus. If you don't twirl it, it's going to fall through the holes of your fork. So the advantage of the wheat handles is it's ro'e lahufan ba'atar, that you could flip it with a pitchfork. That's an advantage. But over here, elahacha, but over here in our case, where I cut down the wheat and I'm planning on eating it, now I'm using it as schach, lamai chazir, what advantage does the wheat handle have? So the Gemara says, no, chazir l'chisata l'minkat lehu bigilayu, right? The advantage is that it's going to be easier to take the schach down after yontiv. Instead of having to pull the whole stalk down, you just pull that little wheat handle and it makes it all drop. That's what the Gemara says. Okay, that's what the Gemara says. The Gufa is basically the same as the previous Gemara. The interesting thing, just to go quickly, is that Rashi has a question. How can we say Gufa? This Rashi is actually 3 lines before the Mishnah. Rashi is bothered by like a technical question. We're saying Gufa on a Mishnah. Usually Gufa is an expression that's used in the statement of Amoraim. How come we have goof over here about a Mishnah? So Rashi says, well, you're not the only one who doesn't know Mishnayis and Uktzin. Mishnayis and Uktzin were so obscure that no one really knew them. And, right, I'm not joking about this. If you look at Rashi, right, Sha'altius Mori, you see it's like 3 lines above the, where it says Mishnah. It's like the middle of the line. 4 lines above where it says Mishnah, middle line. Sha'altius Mori, ask my Rebbe. Migufa de masnis, migufa de mishnah de maisi agav gra bishmaitin mishaykh lemisni gufa. How can you use the expression gufa when something is a mishnah that we just quoted, right? Gufa is kedigaras b'memras hamaraim. Gufa is something that we say about statements of hamaraim. V'amar li Rebbe, my Rebbe told me mishum dahach mishnah minataharos she'ein mehem shum gemara ba'olam. This Mishnayis is on Taharos that has no Gemara at all in the world. V'lo mifureshes kisha'ar Mishnayis, hugach noeg ashas loma gufa kedei lofaresh. Right, it's an interesting Rashi, that Rashi's Rebbe told him that since there's no Gemara anywhere on these Masechtos in Taharos, so therefore we can say gufa because we're just explaining it. You get an impression, by the way, from Rashi, first of all, that there was no Yerushalmi on Tahiros as well. Right? That's what he's saying. Ain't them Gemara Ba'olam. There's no Gemara at all on Tahiros. There's no Bavli and there's no Yerushalmi. And I also get the impression from Rashi that he's saying Tahiros has no Gemara Ba'olam, but Kodshim, right? Well, I guess Kodshim has a Gemara. Zeraim has a Gemara, right? It's only Tahara, so it doesn't have any Gemara. Zeraim has Yerushalmi. Kodshim has Bavli, at least. Taharos doesn't have Bavli or Yerushalmi, right? There is no Gemara anywhere on Uktzen. If you want to become super rich, by the way, write a Gemara on Uktzen and try to sell it to people, right? Okay. So I just want to do with you the last two lines of this Gemara, and then maybe if we have a minute, I want to talk about the Taisus. Right? The Gemara uses this expression of atar as a pitchfork, right? That the advantage of the wheat handles is that it helps you flip the wheat with the pitchfork. Reb Lazer, lama nimsha tfilasun shal tzadikim ka'atar. Right? There are many different expressions in Tanakh for tefillah. By Yitzchak Avinu, the Torah says, "Vayetar Yitzchak Hashem l'nochach ishto." Right, the word atar, or actually, I know someone named Atira. Right, Atira is tefillah. Right, so how come tefillah is called atar? How come it's called a pitchfork? How is prayer like a pitchfork? It's almost like the opening line of a joke. Zakti Gemar lo malucha. To tell you, just like a pitchfork flips grain from place to place, the tefillah of tzaddikim is mahapich dato shakadosh baruch hu. It changes God's mind from cruelty to compassion. Mimidas achzarius, mimidas rachmanus. Now, obviously, there's a whole philosophical problem about God not changing his mind. That's not something I'm going to get into. I don't know the answer to that. That's worth thinking about. But it's interesting to note the Maharsha comments that the word atar is found specifically by the tefillah of Yitzchak Avinu, no? Each one of the others has a different lashon of tefillah, right? That... like by Yaakov Avinu, the Torah says, "Vayifga b'makom." Right? It says, right? So Pegia is tefillah by Yaakov. By Yitzchak, Atira is tefillah. The tefillah of Yitzchak Avinu is explicit in the Chumash that it was successful in that Rivka was unable to have children. Right? When Yitzchak and Rivka are davening, that changes them to become able to have children. Right? Vayeoser lo Hashem v'tahar Rivka ishto. Right, so that's the most explicit place in Tanakh where tefillah accomplishes a change. Right, they're davening. Rivka's not becoming pregnant. Vayeoser lo Hashem v'tahar Rivka ishto. Right, so the tefillah is the tefillah of Yitzchak specifically that is like atar. The Maharsha adds something which he says is like a little bit of Kabbalah, which is that Yitzchak himself represents the Midas Hadin more than any of the other Avos. So that's why this expression of Atira, of changing Midas Din, Midas Achzarius to Rachmanos, is found in connection with Yitzchak. That second part of it I totally don't understand, but the first part I think is a nice idea that the tefillah of Yitzchak in Tanakh explicitly is the tefillah ki'ilu that changed things more than any other tefillahs. Okay, let's just take a look briefly at this bottom tosis on Yud Gimel Amud Beis. Okay, if you remember, the case is if I want to use stalks of various fruits and vegetables as schach, I want to use the stalk and the fruit. So if the psolas is meruba al ha'ochel, it's good. Right? If you have more junk than food, which is mekabel tuma, it's kosher eschach. Zaktaisis. But if the ochel is meruba, then it's pasol eschach. Tos asakasha, though. The Gemara in Chulin says, if I take seeds and I put them to become the roof of my house, so those seeds lose their status of Kabbalah's Tumah. Right? Taisus asks, Afagadar Paraka Arva Rota. The Gemara in Chulin says, Bayesha Sichacho Bizraim Tiharo. If I put roofing on my house with seeds, so that makes those seeds tahar. Mishum debat linu, because I'm being mevatel on the seeds. So Taisus by the Bayakasha. How come we're saying that the only way it's kasher eschach is if you have more stalk than fruit or whatever? The very fact that you put it up on the roof means that it's no longer mekabel tumah. Right? That's what the Gemara in Chulin says. Bayish ha-sichcha b'zra'im becomes tahar. So Taisus is bothered by this kasha. Taisus gives three interesting answers. Answer one of Taisus is that there's a difference between a house and a sukkah. By a house, when I put the seeds up on the roof, it's permanently becoming roofing. So therefore, it loses its status as a Kabbalah's Tumah. But by the sukkah, it's only there for a week. So therefore, it's not permanently losing its status. That is one approach. The second approach, that Taisus says, is interesting conceptually. Taisus says, well, the moment you put it down, it still is Kabbalah's Tumah. It only loses its status Kabbalah's Tumah once it's down there, since it was Mekabel Tumah the moment you put it down, so it's going to be Ta'asev lo min ha'asui. That is really interesting. It's Ta'asev lo min ha'asui, because the moment you put it down, it is going to be Mekabel Tumah. That leads to a whole discussion about why don't I say that it happens simultaneously, like Vas Achas, and maybe it would be kosher for Schach. There's a whole literature about that second answer in Tosis, etc. The third answer that Tosis gives is that the Gemara in Chulin doesn't mean just putting the seeds up on the roof makes it lose its status of Kabbalah's Tumah. It only loses its status of Kabbalah's Tumah when you actually do anything. So just to summarize, Tosis is bothered by Akasha. How come in our Gemara, the fruit that's attached to the stalk is Mekabel Tumah? The Gemara in Chulin says it's not Mekabel Tumah. Once you put the seeds on the roof, it's not Mekabel Tumah. So Tosis has three answers. Answer number one is that a roof, as in a house, is there for a long time. That's why it loses its status of Mekabel Tumah. Answer number two in Taisvis is that the moment you put the schach down, it is Mekabel Tumah. It just loses its status of Kabbalah's Tumah once it's there. So therefore, it was possible the moment you put it down. Therefore, it remains a problem. Answer number three that Tosis gives is that Gemara in Chulin that says it loses its status of Kabbalah's Tumah is referring to a case where you actually do something to change those seeds into roofing. Okay, ladies. So what we did tonight is exciting halachos about uktan. Basically, wheat handles. Whether wheat handles are a kabel tumah or not seems to be a machlokes in the Gemara. And any questions or comments, observations? Okay.
I love the word about Yitzchak. That's just awesome. So thank you.
Oh, okay. Thanks. I was looking around to find something to say tonight. Okay. So, Chevra, thank you for coming to learn. Rachel, be safe on your drive. Sima, enjoy 3 o'clock in the morning or whatever it is for you. And thank you for coming to learn. Even if you're only able to come for part of this year, Tamar, I really appreciate that we're able to come and learn. Yashin Kala Chevra, have a good night. Kotov.
Thanks, Rabbi Schwartz.
Thank you.
Good night.